Amen. It's time to look to the Word of God. Title on the screen this morning is, A Little Child Shall Lead Them. The word child is in capital letters for a reason. Little child shall lead them. This phrase comes out of Isaiah chapter 11. I'm not going to speak on children and how they can lead us this morning into the presence of God, although the Bible has many examples of that. Little Samuel, anointed to be a prophet of the Lord as a child. We have a young lad who put Samson's hands on the pillars and brought down the powers of darkness and the god Dagon and the Philistines. We have young David, a teenager, many teenagers in the Word of God that were used mightily of the Lord. The Bible says out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, God has perfected praise. Our children teach us many things. Children teach us many things in the house of the Lord, and we are led by them because of their spirit. But this morning I want to deal with another aspect of a little child shall lead them. Let's begin with Mark chapter 10, 13 to 16. Scripture says, Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Luke 18, 15 to 17. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. There's only one way into the kingdom of God. You have to come as a little child. You have to be born again like a child. You must be born again, Jesus said. We must be born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You must be born again. Jesus said in John 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, the natural birth. And that which is born of the Holy Spirit is spiritual, is spirit. And whoever is not born again cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We need a born again experience to enter the kingdom of God. We have to have a birth. We need a Mary miracle. A Mary miracle where the Holy Spirit comes upon us and the power of the Most High overshadows us, and that holy thing that is born in us is called the Son of God. Christ in you, the seed of divine nature. The only way into the kingdom is to be born again, to say, Jesus, I need a new birth. Just like I had a birth in the natural, I now come to you that the power of the Holy Spirit and a salvation anointing can come on me, that I can be born again into the kingdom of God and live a life that's spiritual, live a life as a Christian, live a life as a son and daughter of God. The only way into the kingdom is to be born again. If you don't come as an infant, as a little child, you can't get in. Now in John chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13, the scripture says, But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, or power, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as received him, received Christ, gave their life to him, he gave power to become children, sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We must be born of God. Jesus said there are going to be other attempts that are made for the kingdom. Some will say, I'm born of blood. They'll say, well, I'm a Christian because my family is Christian. I had a praying grandmother. But the bloodline of the natural does not bring you into the kingdom. Every person has to make personal choice for themselves to accept Jesus Christ, to be born again, and live in the kingdom of God. It says, born not of the will of the flesh. The good works of the flesh, human energy, good works, human merit. Well, I'm as good as the next person. I'm not a bad person. I've never really done anything really bad or wrong. The Lord should accept me because I'm morally upright. But the Bible says that all our good works are as filthy rags in comparison to the righteousness of God, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all filthy in our sin, and we cannot come by the will of the flesh. Our good works will never merit the righteousness of God or bring us into the salvation of God. It also says, born not of the will of man. The will of man is religion. The will of man is religion. Well, I'm Catholic, or I'm Protestant. I'm Lutheran. I'm Pentecostal. None of that has any merit with the Lord, but only a new creation in Christ. And we cannot claim, well, I was this or that. I want it to be very clear, and I think it is in this house of God, that no one will be able to stand at the great day of the Lord and said, well, I went to Christ City, so, Lord, I should be able to enter into heaven and paradise. It's not in the name of a church. It's not in a denomination. It is in Jesus Christ alone where our salvation is found. Jesus said, many will say to me at that day of judgment, many will say, Lord, 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 Lord. And Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. But Lord, I went to church, but Lord, I had a praying grandmother, but Lord, I tried to do my best. You say, I never knew you. You weren't one of my sons and daughters. You had no personal relationship with me by the power of the Holy Spirit and a surrendered life. I don't know you. Jesus Christ alone, he is the way, the truth, and the life. A personal relationship with him. The only way to be born again is to surrender our hearts to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I give you not only my heart, I give you my entire life. I forsake all to follow you, to be a disciple of yours. Wash me by your blood, cleanse me, and make me your child. Put me in your family, and I will serve you. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity, from lawlessness, from rebellion, from independence. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from sinful behavior and sinful living. There's only one way into the kingdom. Jesus said, unless you come as a little child with a born-again experience, you can't make your way into the kingdom of God. Today I want to speak about being childlike. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's a difference between being childlike and being childish. We are not to be childish, but we are to be childlike. Now, the Apostle Paul said, as I grew up in Christ, I put away childish things. Every one of us, once we're born again, need to grow up into Christ. And we are always to maintain a childlike spirit. But we are to put away childish things. He didn't say sinful things. Sinful things should have been put away at the cross, at our conversion and repentance to Christ. He said, put away childish things, toys and games and the behaviors of immaturity, the vocabulary of immaturity, the attitudes of immaturity, those things that do not bring benefit to the high calling that is upon you to walk as a son and daughter of God. He said, put away those childish things. Put away the childish games and get on with being a mature son and daughter of God. Now, a little while ago, I was thinking about the term child according to the scriptures I've read. And it came into my heart that I should look at this as an acrostic. And what does a child represent? I want to have a childlike spirit, because that is the spirit of someone that lives in the kingdom of God. What would the C, the H, the I, the L, and D stand for? And so I came up with a list. You might want to change my list or add to the list, but here's my list today. And I nurtured these in my spirit a little bit. I had trouble with the first one until I sat down with my sons and daughters-in-law. And because we have 7 grandchildren, I said, what would this first, if I'm going to be a child and I want a description of what a child would be, what would the C stand for? And my daughter-in-law, Chelsea, said, carefree. And I said, that is a good word. A child is carefree. A child isn't concerned about finances and food and taxes and occupation and stress at the job. A child is carefree. They know mom and dad will provide. Father will provide. When I was young, as I thought about, as I grew up, I never thought once about maybe the stress my parents faced to have food on the table every day and supplies for school and clothing. It never even entered my mind. That's the carefree spirit of a little child. And you know, God wants that to be in us. That we live with a carefree spirit. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 26. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. I'm using King James here because I like the phrase, take no thought. The word thought in the Greek is the word for anxiety or worry. Take no worry for your life. But take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the struggle thereof. Now Jesus said two things. He said, take no thought for your life, and he said, take no thought for tomorrow. He didn't say we shouldn't plan, because of course we should, and we have visions, and we have the unfolding of our life. He wasn't speaking about that. He's saying, I want you to live with a carefree spirit. He said, don't take any thought for your life, and don't take thought for tomorrow. Don't take thought for your life. He said, because receive what I give you every day. That's what he's saying. I will bring measure. I will bring life. I will bring what you need for the day. He said, Is the life not more than food? Of course it is. Our life in Christ is worth much more than the food we eat. And so even if we don't have the finances to buy the best food and to go out for dinners and suppers, that's not affecting our life. Our life is more than our food. Because we live in Christ, we live in His presence, we live in His glory on our lives, no matter what we can eat or don't have the finances to purchase. Isn't our body more than clothing? We are wonderfully made. We have these amazing bodies, and even if we can't wear designer clothes, it has nothing to do with the glory that God has put in our physical bodies so we can move and live and see and enjoy life and experience the good things of God. He said, don't take any thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is what you're dealing with. He said, live a thoughtless life. Live a thoughtless life. My, how often we get burdened, downcast, worried, so anxious about our life and tomorrow and what's going to happen. Jesus is saying, listen, live a thoughtless life. Don't worry about tomorrow. My strength will be with you for tomorrow. What you will face tomorrow, when you wake up, my grace will be sufficient to you, for as your days, so shall your strength be. Take care of today. Walk one step at a time with me. Walk through the day with me. I will guide you. I will help you. I will minister to you. Don't get all caught up with what could go wrong in the future or the stress you're going to face or what might happen or what might not happen. He said, live a thoughtless life, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Casting all your care. Lord, there's enough grace and enough strength to help me in the moment I'm living right now. And when this anxiety and this worry and these fears come, Jesus said, cast those imaginations down and live in the presence where you are right now with my Spirit, for I will help you where you are. Psalm 55, 22, cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never suffer. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. That is how great His grace is. We're the ones who get all distraught, concerned, worried, anxious. He said, take no thought for your life and take no thought for tomorrow. You live in my presence and you walk with me and you can live a carefree life because you know I'm taking care of you. Childlike. I want to live carefree. Carefree. H, for humble. A child is humble. A child is teachable, easily led, easy to instruct. Matthew 18, 2-4, then Jesus called a little child to Him, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself, the word humble means low-lying, low to the ground. We don't strive. We don't set ourselves forward. The Bible says if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He will lift us up. One thing about a child is not seeking position. Oh, they have their selfish moments, but they're not concerned about prestige and position. And it's interesting that as you begin to grow from childhood, you are aware that pride clings to all of us like an evil disease. And because of it, there's separation and walls and distance. Little children, you can see them. They're squabbling and fighting, even hitting one another. And 10 minutes later, they're back playing and rejoicing with each other like nothing happened. That childlike spirit, that humility. But what happens with adults? You keep record of every wrong. Even though the Bible says love keeps no record. This offense, that word, that criticism, and pretty soon what's happened? The pride has taken over in our lives. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Don't strive for position. Don't put yourself forward. Take a place of humility. Philippians 2:9 says that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Jesus humbled himself. It says in Philippians 2 that he did not count equality with God as something that should be grasped for. His Father was in authority above him in that sense. He said, equality with God the Father is not something that I'm going to grab for, I'm going to grasp for. I'm going to stay in my place where I am in this beautiful Trinity, this holy Godhead. And Jesus said, if the Father is going to stay in heaven and sit on the throne of glory with all his splendor, and I have to go down into the humiliation of the earth and give my life on a cruel cross, then so be it. That's the spirit of humility. That's the spirit of humility. Matthew said in chapter 12 and verse 19, he said, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will not strive. He will not cry. He will not lift his voice in the streets. He will not draw attention to himself. He will not want recognition. Don't you know who I am? I need your honor. You should respect me more. He will not strive. He will not cry. He will not lift his voice in the street. There were many times as you read through Scripture, not all times, but sometimes when Jesus performed an outstanding miracle on a person's life, he said, do not tell anyone. Keep this quiet. Don't tell anyone. You know why? Because he didn't want to be borne along on the wings of popularity. He only wanted to be carried on the wings of anointed ministry. He didn't come to be a celebrity. He came to be a savior. Hallelujah. The I in child for inquisitive. Inquisitive. A child is inquisitive. I mean, I watch my grandchildren and I'm amazed at how busy they are trying to learn new things and watch new things, and everything is interesting to them. They're searching out, they're learning, they're studying. My every new place to go is an adventure. Every new thing to do, they're so excited about. They have this inquisitive spirit. And it's something that I believe God wants us to keep on our lives. We want to be that childlike person. We want to have an inquisitive spirit. We want to be those who search and study and learn new things. And wow, I can't wait for the day to begin. It's another adventure with God today. What is the Lord going to say in my life? And we've got that bright spirit to serve the Lord. We're inquisitive. We're studying the Word of God. We mark our Bibles as we read through them. We take notes that speak to us during the preaching of the Word of God. Why? We're learning. We're studying because we have found something that is worth far more than silver and gold. We found the Word of God. We found the treasures of the kingdom. We're inquisitive. We search. Never let that lessen in your life. Never let that lessen. Keep an inquisitive spirit. Lord, teach me. Lord, lead me. I want to grow. I want to see new things. I want to experience new experiences with you. Open your word that I may behold wonderful things out of the law of God. That spirit of inquisitiveness. In Jeremiah 50 and verse 8, the Lord said to his people, remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flocks. Be as the he-goats before the flocks. Now the goat in Scripture is spoken in a negative way, but also in a positive, and here is a positive. Be as the he-goats before the flock. That is, run out ahead of the flock. Be ahead of other people. Have an eager spirit. Anticipate some new things in God. Run up the hills. Move ahead of the flock. Get some new ground. Find some new territory that you've never walked on before in the kingdom of God and learn to enjoy it. The Dead Sea Scrolls found in 1947 at Qumran, which if you come on a Land of the Bible tour, you will visit right near the Dead Sea. In 1947, because the he-goats ran ahead of the flock, a young shepherd came upon some caves and they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Old Testament writings, the oldest manuscripts known that hadn't been discovered for 2,000 years. Held in caves for 2,000 years, but some he-goats went out ahead of the flock, and a shepherd went up and saw these holes in the cliff near him, and he threw a rock in, and he heard the shattering of clay jars. And that discovery was made. Be as the he-goats before the flock. That's a word of God to his people. Be as the he-goats. Move ahead of the flock. Have a spirit of anticipation. Look for new things. Come into the house of the Lord with expectancy. Come into the prayer room with expectancy. Lord, how is the Spirit going to lead me today? How is my heart going to rejoice in you today? A child is inquisitive. Next, a child for L, a child is loving. A child is loving. A child will run into your arms. A child will sit on your lap. A child will want to be held. A child will come into your arms and sit close to you. Your child will kiss you 100 times. A child has a loving spirit. And that's what we are to have, a loving spirit. A child is loving by nature, by the grace of God on them. I remember when our firstborn was born, Deborah and I looked at each other and I said, I hope he likes us. Because there's no obligation on our children to love us. We chose them, not vice versa. But isn't it beautiful? The amazing grace of God on a child. A child is made to love and a child is loving. A child needs to be embraced. A child, an infant needs to be cared for and carried and held close. There's a loving spirit in a child. God says, I want you to be childlike. That's one of the characteristics of the kingdom. Make sure you have that loving spirit toward God, toward people at all times. Keep a loving spirit. Don't grow old and cold and withdrawn and distant. Keep a loving spirit. Say, Lord, this is one of the characteristics of the kingdom. If I want to be a kingdom person, if I want to enter the kingdom of God and really live in the beauty of the kingdom, I need to keep a loving spirit. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone that loves is born of God. There it is, born of God, and there's a spirit of love that we must maintain and keep upon our life. So if we're going to be childlike, we have to keep a loving spirit toward God and toward others. D for delightful. D for delightful. A child is delightful. When you watch them playing and running and coloring and laughing, there's such a delight about a child. I think that's one word above all that might sum up the spirit of a child. They're a delight to watch. I mean, every new game, every new toy, every new activity, there's such a delight in their face. There's a twinkle in their eyes. They're excited to get involved with whatever it is that's before them. One of the reasons we wrap presents is because we enjoy watching children open the presents, tear off the wrapping. My, they're excited at their birthday and at Christmas, aren't they? You give a child a present and you watch the delight that takes place. A child is delightful. Now, we should ask ourselves this morning, am I a delight to the Lord? Am I a delight to the Lord that when he looks down, he's got a sparkle in his eyes at the attitude, at the spirit of his son and his daughter? Excited about the new day, a new song of God in the heart, wanting to walk with God. Does God enjoy fellowshipping with you? Does Jesus enjoy being with you during the day? Or are you downcast and moody and sullen and all upset about the things of life? Or do you give him that unburdened spirit? Lord, today is a day for you. Every day is a victory when you put it in the hands of the Lord. Lord, I want you to receive delight from me today. A delightful spirit. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel 6. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the presence of God." Because he took the ark of God into his home, the presence of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod, a priestly garment, to minister to the Lord. David danced before the Lord with all his might. Verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. Therefore, I will play" is the original. "Therefore, I will play before the Lord." They added the word music to give us a sense of it, but there's more there. "Therefore, I will play before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." As she saw David, he was whirling and dancing before the Lord. As he was conducting the ark before the whole nation of Israel, David, the anointed king, the man after God's own heart, some would say he should have had more dignity. He should have controlled himself. He was playing before the Lord. He was whirling. He was dancing with all his might. He was clothed in that garment of ministry before the Lord. And when he was accused by his own wife, he said, I will play before the Lord. The word play means to laugh in pleasure. It means to make merry. He said, "I'm going to make merry. I'm going to laugh in pleasure before the Lord. I'm going to enjoy the presence of the Lord." He was a delight to God. God said, "That's a man after my own heart. He delights in me and I delight in him. I rejoice to see his spirit as he comes before me." There was a man, AD 1200, you'll know his name, Francis of Assisi. He was known as the dancing fool. The dancing fool, his contemporaries called him, because he was always dancing before the Lord and worshiping and rejoicing in the outdoor worship services, and people called him the dancing fool. He was a young man who decided to go back to the Bible as the disciples and sell all that he had and begin to preach the gospel and study the scriptures and go and proclaim the gospel and give help to the poor. He wanted to be like a first century disciple, and he gave his life to that. He was really a charismatic Christian, because many miracles are spoken of as attending his ministry. His original name was John, but he changed his name to Francis, a French name, because of a particular supernatural miracle that happened on his life. He was an Italian, but it was written of him in the century he lived, around 1200, that when he was filled with the fervor of the Holy Spirit, he burst forth ardently in the French tongue. He spoke in tongues. He was speaking fluent French when the power of the Holy Spirit, when he was stirred in his spirit. And he said, "I'm taking the name Francis." The Roman Catholic Church canonized him, but don't let that fool you. He was a charismatic Christian who sought God and gave his life to the Lord. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, Apostle Peter said, I perceive of a truth. He said, I know it's a truth that in every nation and every denomination, those who fear God and work righteousness are accepted with him. God is no respecter of persons, Peter said, but in every denomination, those who fear him, worship him, love him, and work righteousness, holiness, sanctification of life, they are accepted with him. David, Francis of Assisi, my, what a delight to the Lord. Again this morning, am I a delight to the Lord? Are you a delight to the Lord? That he loves to be in company with us, loves to be with us during the day when we're in our vehicles. We have time with him. My, such a spirit of joy and excitement and delight coming off my sons and daughters to be in my presence. Psalm 37 and 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. You say, how can I become a delight to the Lord? The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and you will become a delight to the Lord. If you delight yourself in the Lord, you will become a delight to the Lord. Delight in his presence. Delight in knowing him. Delight in the moments you have one-on-one in private fellowship with him. Delight in his word. David says, I delight myself in your statutes. I delight myself in your word. My, I open the word and I delight myself. They're the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Delight yourself in the presence of the Lord. Call Sundays a delight. The Bible says if you call the day of worship set aside for the Lord, Old Testament Sabbath, New Testament Sunday, or Saturday Sunday, said if you delight yourself in the Lord's day, my, it's the day we're going to the house of God, and we're going to enter his gates with thanksgiving, and we're going to enter his courts with praise, and God's going to minister to us by his Spirit, and gifts of the Spirit will flow, and people will be touched, and we'll be invigorated by the Holy Ghost today. If you call Sunday a delight, the Lord will delight in you. So this morning, a childlike spirit. Maintain a childlike spirit. Don't get old and distant from the Lord. Don't get entrenched in old ways. Keep that childlikeness on your life. A carefree spirit. Lord, I'm not going to allow anything to weigh down my spirit today. You are with me. You will help me with every temptation, every trial, even enemy accusation. It doesn't matter what the stress or pressure is today. You will help me moment by moment. I will bring every thought into captivity to obedience of Christ. I will cast down imaginations, and I'm going to live with an unburdened spirit today because you're going to help me take care of one day at a time, one step at a time. I'm going to live in a humble way, not pressing my agenda. And we know inside when we do. We know when we're pushing from ourselves rather than the Spirit of God in relationship, in job, in occupation against people. Lord, I'm going to humble myself in the sight of the Lord. I'm going to draw back. I'm going to draw back and serve. I didn't come to be a celebrity. I came to save. To minister to people, inquisitive. Keep that excitement about learning. I want to be a disciple of the Lord. It means a disciplined student of Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to keep learning with you every day, walk with you, loving, a loving spirit, and D, a delightful spirit before the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we close out this morning, let's ask the Lord to renew that childlike spirit. Lord, renew a childlike spirit. Now, there perhaps are people here this morning that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says there's no way into the kingdom of God except you're born again. You have to give your life to Christ. Like you were born in the natural, you need a birth in the spiritual realm, where you come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and accept Him as Savior. And when you do, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will come upon you and birth you into the kingdom of God, and you'll be a new creation. You'll be a Christian. You'll be a son or daughter of God. Is there anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior? But this morning, the Holy Spirit is pulling on you to become a Christian, to give your life to the Lord. Please, if that's you, slip out from where you are. Come down to the front, to the altars here. People will be here to pray for you. If you don't know the Lord, receive Jesus Christ today. Be born again. Receive the forgiveness of your sins. Become a child of God. Anyone this morning, please make your way to the front. If you're here today and you'd like to spend a few moments before the Lord as well at the altar, saying, I need to nurture this childlike spirit. I've become hard. I've become cold. I've become distant. I'm static in my relationship. I don't have that inquisitive spirit. I've lost the freshness of walking with the Lord in a vibrant way. If that's you as well, please come down to the altars this morning. Make a decision, a commitment before the Lord. Let Him touch your life fresh with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together. Hallelujah.